It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Thank you for joining us for this month's podcast of the Bengal Financial Literacy Show. I'm your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from KISU at Idaho State University. I have with us today Tim Anderson. Tim, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Chris. Thanks.
So it is beginning of the year, so we got to talk taxes. And this is a slot that for a few years has been filled by, as we know her, the tax lady, Dawn Konacek. But Dawn has gone on to do, I guess, bigger, better things than be on the podcast. And so we welcome Tim to bring some life. So we're going to call Tim, if Dawn was the tax lady, we'll call Tim the tax guy, the tax guru. What do you prefer there, Tim?
Anything works.
Mr. Taxes.
No, I'm certainly filling big shoes, trying to fill big shoes that Dawn left.
Yes. Yeah, Dawn is a treasure. We will miss her. But we welcome Tim to talk taxes. Tim, maybe tell us about yourself. Who are you? What sets you apart to be able to talk about taxes?
So I've just joined the accounting faculty at ISU. Kind of a dream I've had for a long time is to be able to come back and teach students. I am an ISU alumnus, and I had a great experience here. I had some really incredible professors that helped me along my career path. So it's a good chance to give back. But prior to that, I had 30 years in public accounting dedicated to tax. So I live it, breathe it. I still like it, and I hopefully can get people excited about it.
All right. So the goal today, get people excited about taxes.
Right. I mean, I think talking about taxes incites a lot of extreme reactions from people.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually reading, and there's a diagnosed fear of taxes, ferociphobia.
Yeah, that's a new word that you taught me just before we started recording, ferociphobia.
Yes.
The fear of taxes. I assume the fear of all taxes. That's not, limited to just income tax.
And I don't even know how legitimate that is, but the article I read made it sound pretty legit.
Well, I mean, I think it definitely can be, obviously, my work, my career, not as expansive as yours, but I definitely saw a lot of people who come tax time were worried, you know, what's the tax bill? Even individuals who have never had that extra tax bill, it's always had enough withheld, they still come in with the fear that I'll ever have to pay an extra penny, you know, where will it come from?
Exactly. Or any correspondence from the IRS.
Oh, yes.
Will, you know, strike a lot of anxiety in people's hearts.
Which is probably why the scam phone calls of that go out, IRS calling, there's a problem with your taxes, now there's a warrant for your arrest. Sheriff's
exactly.
On their way. Which is probably why so many people, unfortunately, fall victim to that.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I mean, you know, I think people typically have a fear of the unknown, and certainly tax law hasn't gotten any easier, despite the promises politicians have made.
Yeah, a few years ago, I believe we were told that it would now fit on an envelope or on an index card, and really all they did was make a smaller form, but move all that information to other forms that must be attached to it.
So exactly.
It almost became longer.
We now have limitless schedules
yes.
to support that.
Limitless additional schedules.
So we're in tax season now. And I mean, I do want to tell people there are ways that they can get comfortable with their taxes.
Okay.
That, it isn't this dread that's coming every year. And really it comes down to, okay, who can you talk to? Who's that checkpoint that can say, you know what, you're on track? You know, a lot of people worry that they're not taking advantage of as many deductions as they should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there again, an advisor would be really critical. But here at ISU, we're going to continue our longstanding tradition of a VITA program. That stands for the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. We've certified our location with the IRS and are able to offer tax preparation services free of charge to people in our community.
That is such an excellent program. you know, had the privilege of being involved a little bit a couple of years back, and just seeing the people that were able to serve both that benefit to the community, but also the great benefit that it is to these students that are getting hands-on experience before they, you know, go off into their 30-year career in the tax field like you did.
No, I'm excited to give back to the community and the people that we're going to focus on for these tax returns, but I'm probably more so excited for my students, mm-hmm. our students in the College of Business, to be able to do this. I think there's been a lot of concern expressed about the ability of students to interact with other people, you know, after going through COVID.
Oh, definitely.
And this internet generation. Being able to sit down with someone, listen to their concerns, kind of find out or bring their mind at ease to help them with this area that may be kind of creating a lot of worry for them.
What was the word again? The fear of taxes is?
Yeah. It was formosophobia.
Formosophobia. Yeah, I got to commit that one to memory. All right. Well, then let's focus on VITA. Let's focus on VITA. Let's do the who, what, where, when. Start with the who. Who should be thinking about VITA and taking advantage of this free tax preparation service?
So the IRS, in setting up these VITA centers, has said these should be focused on people that are lower income or elderly that need help getting their tax returns filed. Of course, you know, we're not set up to do really complicated returns, even though I've been dealing with that.
Yeah, you definitely have the expertise. You could probably handle anything that walked through the door, but that is not the purpose of the VITA program.
Exactly. And, you know, you can stop by and we'd be happy to talk to you to see if you're who we're set up to help. Mm-hmm. But we're meeting every Thursday night in room 213 of the Rendezvous building here on ISU's Pocatello campus. And we'll be doing that through the second Thursday in March.
So every Thursday night from 5 to 9?
That's right.
Okay. Every Thursday, 5 to 9 in the Rendezvous. You said room 213.
That's right.
Okay. So those unfamiliar with maybe the campus, Rendezvous is right across from the library, right next to Reed's Gym, if you've ever been there for basketball, volleyball, anything else. Thursday nights, 5 to 9 until March 14th.
That's right. So,
and it's not an appointment. It's a drop-by.
Yeah, we'd like people to drop in. And as much as we can, we'd like to get your taxes completed while you're there. But there will be certain instances where people will just have to drop off and then come back next week to pick up their materials.
Okay, so that could be a time constraint on their part. You guys could be super busy and bogged down, or maybe we're missing a few documents and we need to go gather some information.
That's right. That's right. So I think most people are aware of the documents they're going to need. But, I mean, certainly bring an ID with you, whether that's your driver's license or your Social Security card. And then your tax documents, W-2s, mortgage statements, receipts for charitable contributions.
Okay. So W-2s, this can all I've run into instances with this where, you know, just trying to remember, sometimes there's been multiple jobs. So maybe I know maybe we don't have the fear of it. So we want to get it done as soon as possible because maybe we're excited about it already. But making sure you've got all your W-2s. So rethinking, hey, how many different jobs did I have this year? Do I have everything? Waiting for donations. How many donations did I make? Do I have the donation slips for that? Mortgage statement.
One that I think is pretty funny that people often forget is if they've had a child.
Ah, yes.
In their household. You know, that's a tax benefit.
Tax benefit. It's tongue in cheek, but I have told my children that so long as I can put a tax price on their heads, they will have a value to me. But of course, I don't mean that. But it is a benefit, right?
What I don't understand is why that benefit goes away when they turn 17.
I've always wondered that, at the point that they're pretty much the most expensive.
Exactly.
That benefit decreases now from $2,000 to $500.
That's right.
The year in which they will turn 17. Although that was temporarily extended, was it not, during was it 2021 where it got extended to age 18?
Yeah. I mean, we're back to the normal rules right now. As we speak today, we're hoping that Congress will give us a little bump in that child credit for the 2023 taxes.
I hate to be a cynic, but if you're waiting on Congress to do something, I just make other plans. But yeah, Congress right now, you mentioned, is currently deliberating or negotiating or discussing.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently there is some bipartisan support to throw a few extra bucks to child credit.
So the child credit currently right now capped out at $2,000 per child.
That's right. And it's not indexed for inflation. And, you know, heaven knows we've had plenty of that.
We've had plenty of that. So potential that could go up. That would affect this 2023 tax year.
That's right.
That kind of remains to be seen.
Yeah, and we'll be set for anybody that comes. Make sure we've got the current law, and make sure that people get the most deductions they can.
Vita, we go Thursday nights, really set up for lower income, the elderly, those that are in need of free assistance. Obviously, lots of other places in which individuals can seek out help. I always get asked, what's the best software to do it myself? And my answer is always, software is only as good as you want to make it, because if you're going to do it yourself, you better make sure you're asking the questions and doing the research and getting everything you're entitled to. But Thursday nights, lower income, bring an ID.
That's right.
Social Security cards, information for your children that lived with you, because those child benefits, child tax credits, are very beneficial.
Yeah, there are some unique things for people that are filing an Idaho return, specifically when it comes to charitable contributions. The state of Idaho is unique in that they offer a credit for donations made to an Idaho school. And this doesn't necessarily have to be a public school. So in Idaho, if you give money to a school, you're able to take a 50% credit. So a $1,000 contribution would save you $500 in Idaho taxes. Of course, that caps out at a maximum $2,000 contribution. But with the Trump tax reforms from 2017, fewer people than ever are itemizing their deductions.
Right.
And getting any benefit from charitable contributions. But if you're in the habit of giving to your child's school, helping out with the PTO, some of those contributions could count towards this Idaho credit.
Yeah, that's really not a bad thing. I'd give $2,000. So if you're married, filing joint, right, that's going to cap a $1,000 credit, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
So if I gave $2,000, I'm going to get the max benefit, max credit. So, you know. You want to set up some scholarship funds for the financial literacy here at ISU, or maybe donate to KISU, or as Tim mentioned, to your children's school and the PTO. There's some definite benefits in doing that in Idaho. Very unique.
Yeah, I mean, it's so rare that you have the choice of saying, do I want to give my money to the government or to a school?
Yes. And when you do have that option,
it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, kind of a no-brainer. I feel like I'm far too much of a cynic on things that happen in the government. So that's unique to Idaho. I know Idaho as well. If you're maintaining a home for someone who's disabled, mental or physical, there's option of taking a little bit of a credit or a deduction. Credit's going to be your better option.
That's good. And, you know, when you come in to see us at Vita, if that's the case, certainly mention it. I know that in my own research, I've found that even children with learning disabilities qualify for that. You know, it's an extra $100 back in your pocket. Certainly worth putting down.
Okay. So we want to explore that. Idaho had some unique changes as well this past year to their tax code, which many may or may not be aware of. I know we went to a flat tax in Idaho.
That's right. Of course, when you go to a flat tax, some are going to be helped, some are going to be hurt. But the indexing of the brackets before was so short.
Yeah.
People got to the maximum bracket fairly quickly. But yeah, I mean, it's unique in that Idaho has gone to a flat tax, whereas surrounding states have gone the opposite way.
Yeah, a lot have started to have those index brackets, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, when the state of California is now closing in on 14% for their top bracket, it becomes a very, very expensive state to live in.
Okay, so, and you mentioned, and I think that's helpful too to a lot of people listening, you go to a flat tax, that helps some, that hurts others. Of course, we were already kind of set up in Idaho with, as you mentioned, those brackets. They ratcheted up pretty fast. So I think once you hit about 20,000, you're already in that top bracket in Idaho. But if you were lower income, you actually might see potentially a little bit of an increase in your Idaho taxes.
That's right. So. That's right. You know, some other things people might be thinking about as they gather their information is, you know, if they've paid tuition for their kids to attend school, certainly bring that up. There are still education credits in effect. It could be very beneficial. Some of them are actually refundable. You could get money back if you're a student, even if you're receiving Pell Grants. There are ways that we can get some of that education credit refunded back to you. So definitely put that down on your list, things to bring.
Yeah, so as far as the education, you know, you should be, if you're filing your own taxes or if, you know, you're including your children who might be at university or college or technical vocational school somewhere, ask them, did you get a 1098-T? I kind of encourage my students. I say, you do the good right thing by your parents and get them that tax form.
So, that's the magic number there. And so many students aren't thinking about
that. Yeah, nobody's thinking about it. And certainly usually not thinking about, hey, what do I need to get my parents to help them with the taxes? But.
And I think a common question is, okay, should I claim my child that's going to college? You know, and I think that's a great conversation to have, especially when you consider how much collective tax the family could save if you make the right choice.
All right.
You know, and it's not a cut and dried answer.
Yeah. Most things are not so unique as to say, yeah, always do this, always do that. I like what you said, that what's the collective tax for the family?
That's right.
So, you know, are parents going to be better off by claiming the child, getting that credit, which could potentially be more because there's a higher income there? Or is the student themselves going to file their own taxes, claim themselves, claim that credit? We're looking at that collective big picture.
That's right.
Well, I mean, taxes, I don't know if anybody's getting excited yet, less scared. That's a good thing. What other things can we talk about here as far as tax? What do we need to hit anything else on VITA, or are we? I'll hit it again until March 14th, every Thursday night. I think that's important for our listeners to remember.
Yeah, I think one of the best things a tax advisor could do for a client is to just reassure clients that they're safe, that they're okay, they're in a good spot.
Okay.
And I would hope that we could bring that to anybody that comes to VITA.
Well, and how about this? Let's say we've got someone out there who doesn't qualify for VITA.
Mm-hmm.
What are the options individuals have when it comes to filing taxes?
Certainly there are a lot of software providers that are offering free filing options.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS has said that in the near future, they're going to offer their own platform for people to file on a free basis. There's always the standby of the paper forms.
Does anybody do that anymore? Yeah, you can print off your own forms, fill those out, do the calculations, send it in.
Yeah. You know, there are increasingly more and more people that should file a tax return when they're not required to because, you know, Idaho will give you a grocery credit back.
That's a great point to bring up, especially, you know, as we talk about what's the VITA program set up for. Low income, elderly, we might have people out there on Social Security, which we're not going to tax in Idaho. Might be in a situation where they know, hey, I don't have a tax liability, I don't need to file, but by filing that Idaho return, they may get an Idaho grocery credit.
That's exactly right. You know, or they may say, you know what, I earn so little, it's not worth hiring somebody to prepare a tax return for me. Well, you know what, come down to VITA. We can send in the form for you to get your grocery tax credit back. And, you know, a couple $100.
That helps.
Exactly. I mean,
especially in a situation where you're feeling like, well, that there's no reason for me to file. A couple $100 is always nice.
That's right. So. And, you know, maybe it's not such a big topic, but actually the statute of limitations never starts running until you file.
Okay. So what does that mean for our listeners?
If they're in doubt as to whether or not they need to file a tax return, or if they think that, you know what, if I just keep this all under the radar, I can ride off into the sunset and eventually everybody will forget. Just something to tuck away in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, if it does come up in the future that you had a filing requirement, the statute of limitations doesn't run.
All right. No running.
Not to bring in a dark tone on this conversation.
Well, let's talk maybe about that, because, you know, that fear of taxes, sometimes it's not just the fear of tax, it's the fear of dealing with the IRS or an IRS letter or something else that might come about. Maybe we can shift gears to that. Like, what should someone do if they get – well, first of all, the IRS will never call you. So if you get a phone call, that is a scam. You just hang up. But what if somebody gets a letter from the IRS?
I think the worst thing you could do is ignore it.
Okay.
I mean, some people –
do not ignore.
Yeah, some people, that's their coping mechanism. Yeah. The first thing would – probably, I would recommend is have someone read it for you.
Okay.
Someone who's familiar with IRS operations so that you exactly understand what the issue is. And then second, I would say respond.
Okay.
Respond to the IRS. You know, I think the IRS is the sole reason why fax machine manufacturers still exist today. Because you can correspond with the IRS over the fax.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, through traditional mail.
Yeah, I know. I know certainly a lot of people, when it was announced that the IRS was getting an increased budget, there was a lot of fear that that meant there was going to be armed agents, which, by the way, have already always existed. There's always been a special branch, right, of armed agents. They're not dealing with the mom and pops and the you and I. They're the ones putting Al Capone away, because they can't get them on other charges. But a lot of people feared, okay, this means more armed agents with the IRS are going to be knocking on my door and I'm going on, you know, an audit. But really, it's they need to update their technology.
That's right. I mean, the IRS as a department, you know, has had their budget cut time and time again. And they're dealing with antiquated computers, antiquated software. So I think, in all likelihood, we're going to see a large portion of this budget go towards technology. And I'm frankly excited about it.
Yeah, I know I am.
Just to hopefully get rid of some of the bureaucracy that's involved.
Yeah, I know anybody who's ever had to try and call the IRS or been told, you know, you can fax that form in, only to realize, well, I don't have a fax machine, and who does, you know? and so you mail it. A lot of improvements being made, hopefully, that we'll see. To make tax time and any potential tax issues go a lot smoother, right?
Right. And there are fail-safes built into the system that you can always – you always have an option with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
The stories you hear about property being seized, people being taken to jail, those have been – fomenting for a long, long time by the time any kind of that action takes place.
Yeah. That's not like strike one. Oh, you didn't pay this tax bill and you didn't respond to letter number one, so now prison.
Exactly.
So I guess unless maybe it's a really, really large tax bill, but you know, now we're getting into Wesley Snipes territory, who did go to prison. So, well, Tim, I think I actually am a little bit more excited now about taxes. Just that when you talk about the positives, like, hey, I want to give to an educational entity. I want to give to my children's school. You talked about you love being at ISU because it's an opportunity for you to give back. Well, we've got a lot of alum that may not have that opportunity you have or that I have, both of us being alum that now get to teach here, but maybe donating a little or doing something, and that's exciting.
And certainly people who are in higher tax brackets, if you're itemizing deductions already, you get a double up.
Yeah.
You take your Idaho credit and your itemized deduction. So after taxes, your $2,000 contribution may cost you a minimal amount.
Yeah. So we got that. We've got the opportunity to have your taxes done for free from VITA. Again, Thursday nights, rendezvous 213 from 5 to 9. That will end March 14th. So March 14th, the last Thursday.
That's right. We don't want to press our students too hard.
We don't want to keep them here during spring break. We want them to go out and they've just gone through maybe their first tax season and they need a vacation.
Well, we want to leave them with a good taste in their mouth.
So we encourage you to come see Tim and our, you know, our fantastic accounting students and faculty. Even if it is just to ask some questions and hey, maybe you won't qualify for the program, but you might get a little bit of direction. And if you qualify for the program, you're going to get some much needed help at no cost to you.
So that's what we're here for.
That's what they're here for. So, Tim, I appreciate you being on the show. We'll see if you can keep filling those shoes and, have you back next year.
Okay. So. And, Don, if you're out there in your house by the lake, we miss you.
We do miss you, actually, quite a bit. So, and to everyone else, I wish you a fantastic tax season, I guess, right? A joyful tax season. Hopefully a little bit more joy in that season for you.
For sure.
Thanks for listening.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU FM. Shows are produced at KISU Studios in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing for this episode by Shelby McGovern and Khalees Kendall. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy can be found at KISU.org from Spotify and other selected podcast services. Music was produced by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Major funding support for KISU local programming comes from the Associated Students of Idaho State University.